So, were there, when you were, in terms of raising her, I know that, how long was it after she was born that you went back to work?
Well, I didn't, and that was in, she was born in June. So I went to work in September. I just went to work. What was I doing? I went in a little sewing factory, and I was sewing. I think I worked in a little soap factory for a little while too, and then I was sewing. And then I went into another little phase of the sewing part. I was doing mending, and that didn't last too long. Then I went back to North America when she's a year old.
During that time, how did you manage? I know your mother was living here. Did
yeah,
she?
My mother was with me.
Were there any special things in terms of in terms of raising her that, or things that came up, say differences between your mother and you about how she should be raised?
No. No, we didn't have no disagreement on that. Just like we don't have a very much disagreement on Vanessa.
Did she, were there certain kinds of clothes or things that you dressed her in at the time?
Yeah, well, I've always liked to sew. So then I could always dress her in whatever I wanted to. And then she was the only girl in the family, so my other three sisters was always buying her clothes. So that the clothing was no problem.
Did Beverly mainly wear dresses as a
child? Yeah, she wore mostly dresses because I wanted her to be a girl. I wanted her to be real girlish. So she always wore dresses mostly. And dainty clothes.
Did she? What kinds of toys did she play?
Well, she had. In the bounds of reasoning, she had the best that, you know, in the bounds of reason, the best I could afford, and the best I knew to buy, most so the best I knew to buy. So she had her share of toys. She had her books and things to learn with. She had a lot of educational toys. But I don't know where along the line, but somewhere along the line, she slipped or she got out of my hand or I didn't push it far enough or something. Because she got to the place where she wanted to be lazy and didn't want to study her books. She has a very short span for learning or for doing things or whatever you'd want to call it.
Attention.
The attention is short. Now, I don't know where she got that from. I don't know whether she developed it or just what happened.
Did she play mechanical things at all, or around?
Not too much. She played dolls a lot. She really played with a doll. She was a real doll player, and she played with her cooking toys a lot. But as far as mechanical toys, I don't think so. And she played with her doll houses. She had a little doll house with all the little tiny furniture in it. Then she had the little pots and pans that you cook in, actually can cook in. She had those. And she had a tea set and the little table and chairs that she played with, and always having tea parties. So and then she also liked to, someone nicknamed her a star, and then somebody nicknamed her the Rumba Queen. She's always out in the street with all this old junk on, dressed all up in clothes, and she was going, she would play in that stuff all the time. And she was always going, gathering up the neighbors, and she was a nice, well-liked little child, so she'd go up and down the street and get about three or four neighbors to come up to the house and sit there in the garage, and she'd give them a show. And she was the whole show. She had her up a screen put up behind two chairs, and she'd run in there and get dressed, and then she'd run out real quick and do something on the stage, and then she'd go back, and she'd come back out again, and you'd just be surprised. She'd have those old lady sitting there just like this, you know, just waiting for her to come out to do something. So they nicknamed her the star, and she did grow up to be an entertainer, but she just couldn't stand the thought of leaving home. That was her greatest problem. She left and went home to the circus, went to the circus. She left home and went to the circus. And then she stayed there a year, and she just did not want to stay because it was, she didn't want to stay away from home. Mm-hmm. So that was broke that up.
When did that happen?
Oh, that happened after she was 21.
Mm-hmm.
And then during that same time, before she went to the circus, she used to dance as a go-go dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she liked that all right, but then, see, that was just right around here in Los Angeles. And the time anybody suggested she leave town at the end there.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody asked her one time, did she want to be? And I guess you heard about them. You ever heard about this group of people who call themselves the Five Dimensions?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the girl, that lead girl in there, asked her to come on, Beverly, and be one of us. We need another girl. We need a girl in here. So she asked Beverly. Beverly said, oh, I can't sing. She said, but you can dance and you look good out there. So we'll teach you to sing. You can just hum until you get the music together. And she didn't want to do that because she said that was leaving home. And she'd have been well off today if she'd followed that one. But she got other offers to go and be in these acts and things, but she just didn't want to or leave home. That was her problem. She couldn't leave home.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to travel with her. And I often wonder from that day to this day, if I had given up my job and traveled with her, I wondered how we would come out.
Was it by leaving home, you mainly, she wanted to stay with you? Or?
Yeah, she just couldn't seem to stand to stay away from home, from her mama and her papa.
Mm-hmm.
You know how some people don't want to stay home, don't want to leave home?
Mm-hmm.
And you know how some people don't want to come back, but she didn't want to leave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, she didn't want to go out on her own. She didn't want to go to Las Vegas and stay. She didn't want to go to Puerto Rico and stay. Wherever the thing would take her, she didn't want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And she might have gone had I gone with her. And I just wondered if she'd have made enough money to take care of me and her, or how we would have come out. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Or what would the results have been had I left home to go travel with her. I wonder what would have happened to my husband. So you just wonder those things. There are some mothers who do follow their daughters like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what our outcome would have been.
Did she, growing up in it, were most of the toys and things she played with girls' toys? And
yeah, these mostly girl toys.
Mm-hmm.
My husband bought her some boots, a cowboy set, and two guns.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't like those guns at all.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't want no parts of them. Then she had, and I wish I had them today because they were nice toy guns, but they were good toy guns. And she had a train. And she never played with that train, and then I gave it away. And then now she wishes she had it. She talks about it. I want my train. You had no business. You don't think of a girl as having a train. For some reason or other, she thought a girl wasn't supposed to have a train, so she fussed about it all the time. So I just gave it away so she wouldn't see it to fuss about it. And now she wishes she had it. But the lot of her things I still have them. A lot of her toys I still have them. I have her dishes, cooking pots and pans.
Mm-hmm.
I have a table and chairs. I have a bed, you know. I have some of the dolls, but most of them got given away because she was tossing them around too much. She didn't like them because she thought it made her look too much like a child.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of hopes did you have?
I had big high hopes. I had saved the money to send her to school, but she wouldn't go. She just simply would not go to school. She'd go to school and get registered in school and then make out like she got sick or something went wrong and she missed the class and the teacher didn't like her and she found all kinds of faults. But she had changed now and she decided that she got to go to school to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
So she's back in school again. She's working, but she's going to school at night.
Mm-hmm. Did she, were there things when she was... say even when you were maybe pregnant with her or when she was very young that you kind of hoped would happen for her? I mean, kind of say in terms of a career or getting married or anything?
Well, like some of the things happened, some of them didn't. I wanted her to be a performer in some form, fashion, or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So she did get on stage for me, so she didn't disappoint me by that. But I didn't push her with that. I had given up. By that time, I'd given up. I just figured I really wanted her to be a nurse. That was my idea. I thought she should have been a nurse because I thought that was a good career. But she didn't want to. She just claimed she was too dumb to study to be a nurse. So she didn't want to be that. And I don't know what she's going to school studying. I taught her to sew, so she can sew real good. She sews beautiful. She makes her own clothes, and she can sew for other people and get that together. So that's her, I'd like to say, her sidekick. But, you know, it's not a whole lot of money in it. She's good at designing. She can design her clothes if she gets down to it. But as far as a career of it, I didn't care for it, and she didn't either, so that's why that was never pushed. But I wanted her to go on through school and study and be a home economics teacher if she didn't want to be a nurse. Mm-hmm. But she didn't want to be either one. I don't know what she wanted to be, and she didn't know either. Mm-hmm. She always said, I just thought I'd get married and I'd just stay home and be a housewife. I didn't know I was going to have to work for a living. Mm-hmm. But now she found out after she was past 25 that she's going to have to work for a living.
Did you hope that when she's growing up that she would get married?
I hope she would get married, and I hope that she would have a family and the whole works. But I don't know where she slipped. I don't think she wanted the responsibility of a man, to have him to come home and have to take care of him and go through all that, you know, whatever the situation is. I don't think she wanted to come home and head for the kitchen and cook, and he sit down in front of the TV. I don't think she wanted that. And I think she thought that that's what she would end up with. So I think that's what kind of runned away from marriage, too. Because it seemed like to me all of her girlfriends, that's what their husbands do. They come home and don't do anything. Just sit in front of the TV, and you have to come home and wash the baby clothes, get the baby ready for the next day to go back out. So I think that's what she didn't want to be bothered with. I think that's why she lingered around so long and didn't get married.
Were there any subjects in school that she liked better than others?
Nothing but sewing. Anything pertaining to sewing was all right. Sewing, art, she liked that better. Mm-hmm. But the rest of the classes she didn't like. And right now she didn't do anything in math. Math was one of her worst subjects. And now she's in she worked in the tax department where she worked, and that's nothing but figures. Mm-hmm. It goes to show you, and the teacher in math told her she'd never do anything in math. She's just losing her time going to school in math. So a lot of times, you know, you don't know what a person can do. But she ended up, that's what she is now. And someone told her, don't try to be a secretary. Give that up. And so now she's going to school taking word processing so she can work with the computer with that part of life.
So you said she spent, when she first was getting out of, did she work at all during high school?
No, she didn't work in high school at all. Mm-hmm. She waited until she finished high school, and then she was going to college, and she decided she had to have her a car. And she didn't want to go to college. If she'd gone to college, I would have bought her a car. But she went to college one semester, and then she just messed all up and wouldn't finish and didn't get no grades, and she went back the next and same thing. And after going through that two or three times, she just had to quit college. So that's when she went out and got her a job, and then first one job and one lead to the other one into the next and so on. So that's how she got away from college. She started sewing. She's sewing for somebody in a little old shop, and she met a few people in there, and then they said, why don't you go? Oh, somebody came by to make a costume to go dancing in, and Beverly made the costume and tried it on and decided, I think I better go dancing. And then she got the bright idea that she could dance. So then she went out to dance. Then after she danced a while, and she liked that pretty good, and somebody said, join the circus. So she joined the circus. And then she was really into dancing and performing, and she stayed with that a while.
How did you feel about that at the time?
Well, I didn't care very much. one way or the other, I found out she was going to do her thing, so I just sort of let it alone.
Mm-hmm.
I figured I just ride it on out because I have a lot of patience. I figure she's going to soon get tired of it and head for home.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't fuss too much because I knew she'd head for home sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
And she did sooner.
So how did she go from entertaining into what she's doing now?
Well, she decided that, I decided that that was no good life in working in the bars and dancing in the bars, her daddy had died and she had to do something better than that. So I told her that she's always fussing and irritable about something, so I suggested that she go to school and study and be a secretary. She couldn't figure out what she wanted to be. So I said, well, maybe you might be a secretary. You'd look good sitting up there at the desk, even if you can't do anything. So she didn't like that. So anyway, she went to school. Took one of these fast courses at Sawyer's College and came out and got her a little job somewhere, and she discovered she didn't know very much. Her English can't hardly handle that. As long as she doesn't have to make up the letter or this or that or the other, she would work out all right. But so then she discovered she better stay on in there and piddle with that. So. And in the meantime, as soon as she got out of college, out of Sawyer's College, then she got her a job, and she was still so frustrated. And I suggested that she have a baby. I says, well, Beverly, maybe if you have a baby, it would quiet you down some and give you some responsibility, give you something to live for, and then you'd know what it would be like to have a child. That's one of the things that a woman is made for, is to have a child. So maybe if you do that, you would find a new lease on life.
Mm-hmm.
So then she said, well, I guess I didn't have a very hard time talking her into it either. So then she set out to find a man to have the baby by, since she didn't have a real good boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So
when you suggested that, you thought about it as her being a single mother? Or?
Yes, I thought about being a single mother. That was let me put some fire on here.
Oh, okay. So you're saying that you realized it?
Yeah, I realized she's going to be a woman without a husband. To start out with, at any rate, you know. So I suggested I told her I'd help her with the baby in every way, you know, financially and whatever else I could do other than getting the baby, I'd go in for that. So she asked told several fellas about her plans that she would like to have a baby and blah, blah, blah. So when they found out she's real serious, they said, well, no, Verda, why don't you, I can't just let you have a baby and you just walk off with the baby and leave me with nothing. So they says, my mama would want to see it or want it to come around and this and that and the other, and you just couldn't have it by yourself, so fine. So that cleaned out with two or three. And then she's getting desperate there, and she hadn't found anybody, so she ran into a Mexican fella. And he said he didn't care, it didn't make him any different. Well, you know, do whatever you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And then she fooled around with him about 3 months, and she still couldn't get pregnant. So then she didn't know what a problem was, but she had a problem. So then she found another fella, and she demoed around with him a couple of months. And finally, she said, I'm just tired. I don't know what to do, Mama. I don't know what's my problem is. Something is wrong or something. And this last time, she got pregnant. So they got caught. She got caught, and she said, I'm just tired of fooling with this damn fool. And he happened to be in an arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, I'm tired of this damn fool. She says, he just acts so damn bad. I have to go find him and pick him up and drag him here and drag him there. And I'm just tired of fooling around with him now. I just can't be bothered anymore. I'm just going to have to find me somebody else. And sure enough, she got caught that time. And she was through. So that was a God sent blessing there. She didn't have to go through that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't tell him she was pregnant until she must have been 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally she ended up telling him she's pregnant. And then he said, well, fine, and then we can get married. And she said, no, I don't care if I don't get married. Because, you see, she said to me, your head's too hard or something. But they they didn't make it good enough to get married. She said, I don't want to marry you. You already have two wives, and there must be something wrong with you that you can't, that you and those women are not together. So whatever their problem was, we're going to have the same one. So she said, I don't want to marry you. But even though she was pregnant, now two fellows offered to marry her, knowing that she was pregnant by another man. But she said, Mama, I just don't think that'll be the right thing to do. So that's why she ended up by herself. Mm-hmm. So when we got ready to have the baby, we said we'd have it out here at UCLA. So she went to the clinic out there. And she went to one of these classes where you're talking about natural childbirth or something like that. And you know, you're supposed to have a partner. And she said, well, I'm not going out there, Mama, knowing that I'm single and all the rest of the women will have their husbands and boyfriends or something. And she didn't want to take Vanessa's daddy. Now, he would have gone with her all the way because he didn't care. But she didn't want to be bothered with him, so she said she wasn't going. I says, well, I'll go with him. She says, oh, no, I don't need you. I don't want no woman there with me. I said, you're going to be in that delivery room crying by yourself. She says, Mama, what time is the class? so we went right on to the class then. And that was the funniest thing. You know, I look back at it now. I know the two of us together must have been a perfect show. So we went strutting on out there to have the baby. Went on that, got us a room and everything, and then Beverly's pain stopped. Then after a while, they came back, and then they had to put her in the room and give her all kinds of needles and what have you to help make the pains come back. And so finally, and we was, she went out there and stayed a whole night and half of a day, and no more pains. And then that Saturday morning, around 10 o'clock, they gave her some stuff to start the pains to come. And I stayed there with her all day Saturday, and I came home to feed the dogs, and then I went back Saturday night. And then I stayed all night long, and finally the baby was born at 8 o'clock. And so she had a student nurse in the room there with her. And when the student nurse came in around 3 o'clock that morning, because she said that she had gone so many centimeters, and so it was, you know, it wasn't just a matter of a couple of hours, an hour or something. And me, with my big mouth, I told the student nurse, I said, ooh, we're going to have a good time. How are we going in the living room together? What about you going to stand? And the nurse said, you can't go into the living room. And that's when the cat was sitting on the fan and somebody turned it on. We got into more arguments and fusses over that situation like that until that wasn't even funny. Oh, but before we got to that, I jumped myself there. It's that Saturday morning, they hadn't given her anything to help bring her pains on, and I know they could. So there was a fellow, there's a doctor, he's sitting up in there having a book, you know, in a room reading. He was waiting for her. And Beverly said, Mama, I done went home and got a book, a telephone book. I went back out in the office, in the room and got a, she says, Mama, got this book down there. She says, Mama, here's this doctor here. You call him. And he's supposed to be reading this book now, and he's taking care of his business. And she was there whispering to me. She says, Mama, you go call him. And she says, when you stand there at the phone booth, don't go nowhere, because he's got a beeper on him, and they're going to call him, and then he'll call you right back. And then you'll find out what, then you tell him is what, blah, blah, blah. So this was a friend of hers, just like I'll say you are my friend, and I called you to do something. So anyway, I went on out there and stood at the called him. And he had used to work there at UCLA, and I called him, and he said, I'll be there in less than 30 minutes, just, you know. He says, and I, you know, he knew the hospital. Mm-hmm. So he came on up there. And you should have seen the face on everybody when the doctor came and when that doctor walked in, because, see, he didn't need no papers. He just walked on in. And he says, Beverly, what are you, and picked up a foot, and says, Beverly, what are you doing up here, and you didn't tell me you was here? Oh, I'm the doctor. And after that, we got all kinds of attention. Anything we wanted, we got it. We didn't have no more problems. That is the end of our problems right there. Isn't that a strange thing about life, how some people sure can change things around for you?
Now, was he still there when the student nurse was giving you the...
No, he came in after her time,
mm-hmm.
So it didn't, no, he came before her time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, he came before her time, but then he had set the wheels to rolling now,
mm-hmm.
So we got better attention. But the thing of it was, you see, they had never started giving her any medicine to make the baby start coming or make her start opening up or doing something.
Mm-hmm.
She was just sitting there just standing still. All she was doing was dripping,
mm-hmm.
And no more pains. But I'm sure something else would have happened further on. But after we had gone 9 months with that baby and we had such a hard time getting it, we didn't want to lose it.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you tell, say, your friends at work about your plans and what you were doing?
Yeah, they all knew. Everybody was in my corner. They was just pushing and a shoving and a... You know, and they was with me 100%. They knew that I was going to be a grandmama, and they was already calling me grandma. Everybody was happy for me.
So they felt it was a good idea?
They thought it was a good idea, yeah. It was a good idea. But see, my case was entirely different from the average person because, see, I was willing to support her, willing to help her, and she was 30 years old, so we knew what we was doing. It wasn't like it slipped up on us.
Mm-hmm.
See, it was a planned situation. I just thought the family was so small until if she just had a little child to take care of or somebody else to love her when I was gone,
mm-hmm.
then that's what she needed.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good idea. And I've heard several people have come along and did the same thing since she's went through with her deal. That on account of she came out so well, they decided they'd try.
Mm-hmm. What were the, outside of finding... someone that, after Vanessa was born, did the father try and do anything to get custody of him?
No, he never did. He never said anything. He just let it alone. But he did say he gets angry ever so often because, see, he has never carried her anywhere, and she's 4.5 years old, and he was just saying before Christmas, he was mad because he says, I have a little girl and I can't carry her anywhere. I can't do anything for her unless I get an okay from you. He says, he's mad with him. He says, you just use me. All you wanted me to do was just father this child. And he says, and she's such a pretty child. And he says, I love her and I don't see why I can't have some say-so over. And then he was so angry, he says, I'm going to take her to Iran and leave her. And Beverly says, over my dead body. I'll take her over there and give her to the Ayatollah. And she says, no way. Yes, he would like to have more sex over, but he can't because we don't bother him. See, we don't ask him for any support.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime you don't ask a person for their money, they don't have much to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he comes ever so often and he gives us something. But he says he doesn't like that idea too well because he wants to take her with him somewhere. He don't see why he can't take her with him. Alone,
mm-hmm.
You know, after all, you know, and he says, you just don't want to marry me, you don't love me, you don't care for me, all you want to do is just use me. And Bella says, but I'm not bothering you. She says, if you don't want to come, you don't even have to come and see her. I'll tell her something. I'll just tell her that you forgot about her. I'll tell her something. Says, you don't have to come and you don't even have to know about her anymore if you don't want to. You can just erase her out. He says, it's not that easy. So he would do a little bit better, I guess, if she'd let him or if we would let him or whatever the case might be. But we just don't want to be bothered